Okay, good morning and good chodesh to all. Welcome back to Tanya, 10 Minutes of Meaning, generously sponsored by Marilyn and Michael Fedak. Please help yourself to coffee, slushy, pastry in our Abshayla corner. Spend time in our BRS cafe after we finish our 10 Minutes of Meaning. We're in the fourth parak of Tanya, the fourth chapter of the Holy Tanya, and we have been learning about the three garments of the soul in speech, thought, and action that seem to be an external manifestation of what's happening to us internally, and they are the expression of the two qualities of Yira and Ava, of awe and of love. And when we last left off, the Baal HaTanya was telling us that Ava is the Shoresh, love is the root of the 248 positive commandments, and awe or reverence, often translated or mistranslated as fear, is the root of the 365 negative prohibitions, and that these are not simply random laws of the Torah, but they actually are the ability to manifest and to express our innermost feelings, our innermost emotions, or what we'll call the midos that are inside each and every one of us. In other words, it's not enough to feel love and awe, but that has to be put and placed into action. So if someone tells their spouse, "I love you, you're the greatest, you mean the world to me, you're my other half, you complete me," and they say, "That's all wonderful. Would you mind taking out the garbage?" "Yeah, I wouldn't mind, not interested." "Could you put the cap on the toothpaste, as I've asked 1,000 times? "No, but I really love you. I love you incredibly, I love you insanely, I love you more than anything in the world." Well, that spouse might question the quality of that love, the authenticity of that love, because a love without expression in action, and similarly when it comes to awe, reverence, what we'll call fear, if I say, "Please don't do that, that crosses a line, a boundary, it creates a reaction in me this way, I'm asking you, this is a need I have, please don't do that." And you say, "I have tremendous reverence, I have tremendous awe for you, but then I walk all over you and cross every line that you've set," where's the awe and where's the reverence? So the external manifestation, the world of action, is revealing how authentic or real is that world of that inner world. So until this point, Perek Daled has clarified that the outer self, the garments of thought, speech, and action, and we spent significant time on the idea that I would have thought personally that thought belongs to the inner world, not the outer world. I would have thought that speech and action are the outer manifestation or expression of me, of my inner world, but what I think is my inner world. And that's what the Baal HaTanya was mechadesh, that it's not true. Even the thoughts that come to us are not the essence of who we are. They're not part of our core identity. They're not our inner world. They're our outer world too. And that's when we spend time on how we can control and regulate our thoughts. Our thoughts knock, but we can decide and determine whether to let them in. So whether it's in davening and external thoughts come trying to distract us, whether it's thoughts that are unhealthy, whether it's thoughts of jealousy or anger or arrogance, whether it's thoughts of fantasy and indulgence and things we shouldn't be doing, those thoughts are not part of our inner world, but those thoughts that no one is necessarily has access to, those thoughts that are inside us, but they are in itself an outer world, they are lavush, they're a garment that is being worn by us, but they're not us essentially. So until now we've been talking about the garments of thought, speech, and of action. In completing the inner self is the world of Das, Chochma, Bina, and Das. The inner world is the inner world of the intellect and the world of emotion. Which is the more real world? The inner world or the outer world? Now, before you got to the second half of Perek Daled of Tanya, I would have thought the inner world is the authentic real me. And the outer world, just like if I ask you, who's the real you? The one you see in the mirror? Who's the real you? The one that the lab report gives the results of how you're doing? Who's the real you? The one when you stand without clothing on? Or is the real you if you look in your closet and you see all the garments that you rotate in your wardrobe and wear? Which is the real you? So I would have thought my wardrobe, my garments, they're certainly part of my creative process, my self-expression, and they're part of how I identify, but they're not the real me. They're just my garments. They're my wardrobe. And they can change as the style changes. They can change as they wear out. They can change. I would have thought my garments, my wardrobe is not the real me. The real me is what's underneath it. And similarly, I would have thought the real me is the world of intellect and emotion, and the world of thought, speech, and action, the outer world, is just the way I express it, but it's not the real me. And yet, the Baal Tanya comes here and he says the opposite. These three garments, when devoted to Torah and mitzvos, even though our thought, our speech, and our action, they're called garments compared to the nefesh, ruach, and neshama, the essence of who we are. Im kol zeh, gava v'gadla ma'alasim le'inkeitz, v'sof amalas nefesh, ruach, and neshama atzman. They are of infinitely greater level and quality than the actual nefesh, ruach, and neshama. This is entirely counterintuitive. This goes against at least what I thought. Intuitively, my intellect and my emotions, that's the real me. And things I say and things I think and things I do, maybe I gave in, maybe I indulged, maybe I was distracted, that's not the real me. Comes along the Baal Tanya and he says, no, the world of thought, speech, and action, and these are his language, gava v'gadla le'ein keitz v'sof amal nefesh ruach neshama. They are of infinitely greater level and quality. He's making a striking proposition that the levush, the garment, the clothing, the external of the person, the outer self, is more significant than the inner self, than the inner soul. And what does he mean? He didn't make this up. Lest you think it's a radical idea of the Baal HaTanya. He's quoting the Zohar. The Zohar says the Torah and Hashem are one. Perush. The Torah, which is the ultimate wisdom of Hashem and the will of Hashem. Interesting, it's both the wisdom and the will of Hashem, is something that would be a mere glimmer of divine essence, is completely one with him, with Hashem. It's not that there is a Hashem, infinite, omnipotent source of everything, and then he needs to communicate with us, so he came up with his Torah and he came up with his mitzvos. No, the Torah and the mitzvos are completely one. Kudshabrichu, Doraisa v'kudshabricha chadhu. He's one, together. Torah and mitzvos are not just the wisdom and will of Hashem, they are the essence, they are the actual Hashem. Kiyo yodeh v'hu amada, Hashem is simultaneously, listen carefully, this is a reference to the Rambam. He is the knower and the power to know and that which is known. Hashem is the knower and the power to know and that which is known all at the same time. So Rav Chaim Miller does a great job of giving this as a metaphor. Right, because this sounds very esoteric. What does this mean? Kodesh Baruch Hu, Doraisa, Chadu. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not just, Torah mitzvos are not just how he communicates with us, but it is the essence of who he is. And when we connect with them, even though it's through our outer self and the garment, it's more authentic and higher, it's more real than anything happening inside. What is he saying? So Chaim Miller has the following. He says, there's a difference between being one with God and being close to him. You might be extremely close to your best friend, to your spouse, to your child, but in the end of the day, you are two distinct, separate people. You could be your best friend, BFF, tell each other everything, know everything, finish each other's sentences. Could be your spouse, v'hayu l'basar echad, it's your other half, your basher, you're meant to be. It could be your child, they come from your very flesh, they are an extension of you. But in the end of the day, that child, that spouse, that best friend, as close, as connected, as complementary, as completing you are to each other, you're two separate people. What about on the other hand, your arm? Your arm is totally one with you. Your arm never has to decide, do I want to go with you to shul? I want to sleep in. Do I want to eat that dinner? I'm going to go for the fleishiks instead of the milchiks. Your arm is you. It never betrays you. It never abandons you. It by definition goes with you. Why? Because unlike a spouse or a child or your best friend, as close as you are, but ultimately still is separate, your arm is you. Your soul, listen carefully now. Your soul, is your soul more like your child or your arm? I would have thought my soul is my arm. I have an arm and I am a soul. But says the Baal HaTanya, your soul is a child of Hashem. And it could also be one of Hashem's spouses, the love of Hashem. But it's not one with Hashem. A mitzvah is a limb of Hashem. It's part of him. So when through the garment of thought, speech, or action, we do a mitzvah, that garment becomes one with Hashem's very self, so to speak. I'm going to say that again. our neshama, as close as we are, as connected as we feel, as much as it's me, is a child of Hashem. In the end of the day, it's still separate and apart. But when I do a mitzvah, when I learn the Torah, when I connect to Hashem, then that's connecting to the essence. That's the arm of Hashem. The arm of Hashem. And so very counterintuitively, while I would have thought that my soul is me, and the garments I put on, I take off, I wear, the external part, is not the higher, more authentic, comes along the Baal HaTanya, and he's machadish, a radical idea based on the Zohar, that Daraisa v'kud shabrichu kul echad, that Hashem and His Torah are one. So if Hashem and His Torah are one, how do I become one with Hashem? By attaching to His Torah. Even though the way I attach to His Torah are through the three garments that are external, thought, speech, and action, the way I connect to Torah is through the garment, which is external, but it's only by connecting to Torah that I get to the essence of Him. If I only connect to my soul, then I'm connecting to something very close with Him, the Son of Him, the love of Him, Hashem's BFF, Yedid Nefesh, Avarachaman, but I'm still not connecting to His essence. You follow? That means to say, that if I could sit here and meditate in Fabreng and nourish my soul and sing Lebedik Nigunim and feel super connected, or I can open a sefer and learn His Torah or go and do a mitzvah, which is higher and holier? Doing the mitzvah. Because sitting in Fabrenging with my neshama is spending time with Hashem's son, with Hashem's spouse, with Hashem's best friend. But going and doing a mitzvah or opening and learning a sefer, I've now just attached myself and connected to Him. To Him. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't also fabreng and enjoy and spend time with our neshama. It's nice to spend time with a child of Hashem, with a spouse of Hashem, with Hashem's BFF. That's also important. That's also meaningful. That also matters. But which is higher and holier, which is loftier, which is our ambition and our drive, which is our priority and more central? It's attaching ourselves to His Torah and to His mitzvos. I can liken it, even taking that metaphor further, right? In other words, if you want to connect with me, when you spend time with my child or my spouse or my friend, we've developed a relationship and a connection, and that's meaningful. You come to know me. But it doesn't compare to attaching to me, to connecting to me, to being together with me. So Ribono Shalom is the same thing through His Torah and through His mitzvos. So even though it's impossible to fully understand, Hashem has invested Himself in His Torah to such a way that He has become completely one with it. That's what the rest of Perek Dal is going to now explain. If Hashem is infinite and omnipotent and He's beyond comprehension, how can we attach ourselves to Him, or how does He become one with His Torah, which seems to be finite? His Torah is a book. It's made up of letters and sentences and ink and parchment, and it's a Torah that's part of the down here and this world. If He's infinite, omnipotent, and endless, how does He express Himself? V'yafta kodesh baruch hu, will do one more sentence. Afta kodesh baruch hu nikra ein sof, v'legdulaso ein cheker. Hashem is called throughout the Kabbalah the ein sof. There is no end, there are no boundaries, He's limitless. V'legdulaso ein cheker, and His greatness is beyond comprehension. And no thought can really grasp Him at all. He's beyond our comprehension. Or put differently, for those who know, you cannot know His essence. You cannot know His essence. No thought can grasp Him at all. His will and His wisdom are depicted as non-graspable. The Baal HaTanya goes out of his way to quote several psukim to remind and reinforce us, don't think you can know His essence. Don't think you can know His essence. So if we can't know His essence, how can He be one with His Torah and we can then attach through His Torah? So we'll pick up with this next time. The Baal HaTanya is going to have another big chiddush. Every sentence of Tanya, you think you're just learning Tanya, you complete that day's Tanya, you're just laying it up. But every sentence, you have to know how the rest of the world understood it until the Tanya came along, and then what the Tanya said that made you understand it now differently than everyone else. Where you find Hashem's greatness, you also find His humility. So the rest of the world always understood that to mean that every time there's a reference to his greatness, the Torah has an equal opposite pasuk to remind us that he's humble and modest. That the greatness is not a flex, he's not flaunting, he's not showing off. The greatness is an expression of him, but the essence of him is to be humble and modest. The Tanya says that's not what it means at all, or at least there's another layer of what it means, and that is, cliffhanger, what we will pick up with Amir Tzashem next week. Wishing everyone a good chaydish, a good yar, a gesunter winter, and every other phrase and expression you can think of. Amir Tzashem will pick up next time. Amen.